This is Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Whether you're a leader now or aspire to be a leader in the future, you owe it to yourself to learn about the big ideas that have shaped the careers of compelling communicators, masters of influence, and highly effective leaders. Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Tune in to hear thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership. You can expect dynamic discussions with special guests, quick tips you can apply immediately for better results, and the tools you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. Are you ready to crack the code for achieving unprecedented results? Then welcome the host of Uncommon Sense for Leaders, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome, and thanks for joining us today. I have a very special guest today. Her name is Valya Glitzis, and she's been on the show before. Some of you may remember her. She runs The Paradox of Leadership, which is a leadership education firm based in New York City, but she has clients all around the world. So Valya and I met because we share a client in New York, and we've just had so much respect for each other because we have the same principles and the same view of leadership. So it's very exciting for me to have her on today, not only because we're going to talk about a great topic, but because Valya has agreed to be a guest host. So she's going to be hosting the Uncommon Sense for Leaders show once a month, starting in a few weeks. So you definitely want to tune in. She's got so much wisdom to share and many great experiences. So a little bit more about Valya. Her passion for leadership comes basically from marketing, branding, and consulting. So she drives transformational success through a fierce commitment to the human side of business. And you'll hear that when she talks today. So some of her clients are McKinsey & Company, HBO, New York City Economic Development Corporation, IBM, Georgetown University, and many more. What Valya wanted to talk about today is one of my favorite topics, and that's mindfulness and the role of mindfulness in leadership. Now, what's fascinating to me, this was not planned at all, but our last three guests, if you remember, have all talked about, in one way or another, how important it is to do our own personal development work, how we show up, what we do as leaders, and how we treat ourselves, how we treat other people, may be one of the most important keys to success for true transformational leadership. So last week we had on Brad Jackson, who is the head of the School of Government at Victoria University in New Zealand. And he talked about the difference between transactional and transformational leadership and pointed to this almost indefinable quality. He called it spiritual. He wasn't talking about religious, but almost a sense of being connected to something greater than ourselves, that sense of belonging in the world. And this is from, an academic. Prior to that, a cognitive psychologist was on the show, Dr. Gary Klein, you'll remember. He talked a lot about intuition. And with Gary, he talked about intuition as a process a very rapid pattern matching. And that requires a certain level of mindfulness. And before that, we had Dr. Bob Rosen. Yes, I forgot for a minute who we had. And Bob Rosen wrote Grounded Leadership. He does, he's involved in global leadership. And the Grounded Leadership, he had six steps. And the most important was that connection with ourselves as part of something greater. So something happened just a few days ago that made me realize how important that is. And then we're going to jump right in with Valya. But someone that I've worked with for a number of years has struggled with an organization that did not have the same values that he did and ended up parting ways. This fellow is a salesperson, and he was astounded because as the word got out in the industry, he had calls from all around the country. First of all, supporting him, reminding him of his value, but a couple of them offering him jobs. They said, "We would love to have you on our team. We've worked with you. We know your integrity. We know how you treat people. It's pretty amazing when you do that. And this person, he was humbled by this because it was so unexpected, but so appreciated. And it just goes to how important it is when we meet people, the interactions that we have in every moment. So I'm delighted to be able to introduce to you once again, Valya Glitzis. Valya, let's talk about mindfulness.
Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm thrilled to be becoming a deeper part of this community, Catherine, so thank you.
So you'll bring a lot of value, I know, and I certainly have already learned a lot from you.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, when we were talking about, you know, what should we connect about today and chat about, I just feel like I'm not going to any client these days without the word or at least the concept of mindfulness coming up. And it's just been blowing me away of even in the least likely of companies that it's there. It's bubbling, it's happening, and I think we have a whole bunch of different definitions and different ways that companies and leaders are bringing it forward, but it's happening and it's urgent, and it's amazing how your past three guests have also just been talking on the forefront about this topic.
Well, it's not one that we would normally associate with business, right? So how do you define mindfulness, Valya? And talk a little bit more about how it's showing up in these least likely places.
Yeah, I think it's not something that we expect in business. And the way I have seen it come up is just this time and space and energy that companies are allowing people to take, whether explicitly or whether implicitly, to get grounded in themselves. It really feels like this concept of honed in and tuned in awareness so that we're not living so frantically, so busily, right? Just so scattered. I mean, every time, you know, I pick up a phone with a client and say, okay, how are you doing? The first word out of their mind is out of their mouth is busy. And after a while, it just loses dimension. It feels really flat. And I think mindfulness is actually a practice and a concept that is combating this sense of busyness. It's how do we still be busy but not feel frantic along the way, right? Really feel grounded in what it is that we're doing and what it is we want to be accomplishing at work every day.
You know, I was facing the same thing myself. And a couple weeks ago, I thought, I am not bringing my best to my encounters right now. And so it really is a matter of getting off of the hamster wheel and taking a look, getting connected again to what's most important. And what I'm finding is I'm still showing up to all the important places. I'm bringing more to it, but I don't have that sense of franticness. And so I really appreciate that. It's scary for people, though, to let go and not be on the grid 24/7. How do you guide them in that?
You know, I think that's exactly it. I think fear is the exact concept that stands in the way of mindfulness oftentimes because we've been programmed that, oh, if we take a vacation and not check that phone, the world might just stop spinning. And of course it never does. So, you know, how I work with clients and with organizations who are willing to start listening to these concepts is let's get clear on why we're doing what we're doing. Right? Because oftentimes we'll walk in and say, oh, I was in meetings all day. My day didn't start until 6. And I'll just stop and ask, okay, well, how is that, you know, 7th meeting of the day connected to the bigger purpose of what you're doing here or why you're doing it? And I have yet to get a convincing and compelling enough answer to that question. And I think part of the magic is just before walking into the craziness of every day or every meeting, just make sure that there's at least a dotted line into why you're going into that. If it doesn't have to be you, if it's not connected to an overall job description, an overall purpose, an overall whatever it is for you, whether you're an entrepreneur or someone in an organization, let's make sure we're clear on why the heck we're doing what we're doing. And it's amazing. Just a couple weeks later, people will come back and say, you don't believe it. 70% of what I was doing, I couldn't give a compelling enough answer to you as to why I was in that meeting. Right, and I understand not everybody has the luxury of delegation or of teams to go, but just this asking a question brings consciousness and brings mindfulness to the hecticness of the everyday. So we feel back in control, but not from a fear-based place of control, more from a really kind of connected place of control.
Yeah, you talked about fear-based values or fear-based actions before, and that's a wonderful concept to think about. I also think that we get caught up in the difference between activity and results.
Yes.
And man, when we focus on results, we can do a lot more with a lot less of this frantic activity.
Yes. And I think it's also this, that's exactly right, this concept of, are we showing up at work every day for the end result to just be efficient, right? Or are we talking about effective? I think there's a real difference. One is about how do we fit all the Tetris pieces into a puzzle of the schedule and become victims to that schedule or slaves of that schedule. And one is about, am I being effective? Am I actually connected to the purpose of what it is that I'm doing here or the project that I'm meant to deliver or the relationship that I'm meant to foster? It's a very different way of shifting busyness to real productivity.
You know, I can see a lot of ways that this could be implemented in an organization, and it requires a change in operating methods, even communication and all the rest of that. How would you define mindful leadership before we get too deep into the practices of it?
So I would say mindful leadership is the courage to choose. I think mindful leadership is when a leader is able to step back and in that moment, rather than react to whatever the situation in front, they choose that breath, that moment of pause, to then be able to choose and respond instead of react.
That sounds very wise. Who'd have thought? You think before you act and you'll get better results, right?
Well, and that's where the fear comes in, right? We're just, back to your point, we're on the hamster wheel. And I'm saying, you know, what would it look like if we had that courage to just insert that one moment of pause? I think that's where leadership begins. And it's just a collection of moment after moment after moment of choosing rather than being at the effect of something.
I love that moment of pause because it doesn't take a long time at all. And yet in that moment, you can get clarity, you can get centered and open to your own inner wisdom that could come out. So we're going to go into a break here in just a minute, Valya, and we're off to a great start. Thank you so much. What a good topic. We'll be right back, folks, right after this short break. Stay with us.
There's more to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
In today's business world, a helping hand or idea that doesn't come with an invoice is a treasured find. And if that happens to you, then you need to pay it forward to keep other entrepreneurs from making mistakes or getting a raw deal. It's called Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi, Wednesday mornings at 10, 9 a.m. Central. Josephine is going to have the guests describe their accomplishments, the lessons they've learned, both good and bad, and then sharing those pieces of knowledge as we create a movement of paying it forward. For more information about Josephine, her business, and background, you can go to mymomknowsbest.com. Josephine Gerasi has always been a problem solver. She saw this need and has turned it into a movement. It's Paying It Forward, with tips, tools, and advice, and hard lessons learned. These pieces of knowledge can make a huge difference for you, your business, and others. So join us for Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi, Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central, on toginet.com.
This is the All Business Radio Network, ABRN.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on toginet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on toginet.com.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back. We're here with Valya Glitzis, and we're talking about mindfulness and leadership. Just before we went to break, Valya had a great tip, and that is how to bring mindfulness into the workplace for a leader in every moment, and it doesn't have to take a lot of time. That's what we're all worried about, is how are we going to do one more thing? This is so simple, and yet can make a huge difference. And that's that moment, that pause to really get centered and not only think about what you want to do, but kind of feel it in your body. So, Valya, what I'd like to know, let's talk about how some of the companies you're working with are actually incorporating mindfulness into how they do business. What are their experiences? What works? What doesn't work? I think that would be really helpful for our listeners.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that I've found interesting is, like any quote-unquote trend, right, I think as new companies are hearing about this world of mindfulness, what I see them try oftentimes first is a big symposium or a big conference, or they'll bring speakers in and just talk about mindfulness. And while that's really effective and I think people get inspired for a day, they don't see lasting effects when I check in a few weeks later. So what I've seen be really effective is start at the ground. And the ground level to me in mindfulness is really about how you cultivate that moment of pause. And the simplest way businesses have been trying it has been through the practice of meditation. And that doesn't mean everyone is sitting on yoga mats for hours upon hours of a day. It's actually,
I had that image.
Exactly. We all do, right? They actually bring in, you know, whether it's speakers, whether it's workshops, to teach people how to breathe. How to breathe deeper, how to actually breathe from the belly rather than from the chest, to be able to sustain a couple of more seconds of breath to get them to that moment of pause. Sometimes it's a guided reflection of just closing their eyes, breathing for 2 seconds as a community before they start a meeting. It is profound what happens in the quality of the conversation, in the courage of the conversation, when the whole room or when the whole, you know, set of executives, whatever the situation might be, is able to center together. And for those who can't hear the word meditation, because not a lot of companies can, right, it's just about how do we just center in that moment and clear our mind of thoughts for as long of a pause as we can. That's essentially what meditation is. So I have seen a lot of workshops happening. Then some companies who want to take it to the next level start integrating yoga classes, other types of health and wellness classes, a lot of team events with, you know, almost meditation-type challenges. So those, I think, start taking it to a whole nother level of mindfulness when it's about incorporating it to the everyday. But I think a simple practice of that deep breathing, of that coming together and starting meetings in a different way, right? Rather than jumping straight into the agenda, I have seen some companies just go around and say, what is kind of your one thing, whether you're grateful for, or one great thing that happened yesterday, just to set an energy of what's possible rather than the franticness of, okay, let's just dive into the content of the work. Simple things, right, Catherine? Simple things.
They're simple, but I want to underline a few things. Because I don't want anybody to mistake this as new age stuff. You are not new age. Well, you. Let me put this way. We're talking about the stereotype of new age. Some of this may be considered new age. It's new thinking for sure. But you are a very effective businesswoman. I know that you coach executives at every level of an organization, including the C-level. And so do I. So,
yes.
So it may sound flaky, folks, but I want you to really think about this, because we've come to this. For me, it's been years to get here, Valya, not so many years, but we are coming to really understand that these are really, truly important. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I do some of my programs, I also talk about breathing, Valya, and I do it a little differently, but I love how you talk about it. What I say is, we want people in the approach state where they're receptive, they're open, they're able to access their wisdom. They're not operating out of fear. We're wired as humans to, when we're under stress or there's danger, the blood rushes from our heads and, you know, we have our short, rapid breathing. And that served us well when we had to run away from a physical danger. It doesn't work so well now. And that puts us in the avoidance state when it comes to really dealing with the kinds of mental challenges and problems that we have to deal with at work. So just slowing the breathing gives a message to the body that the danger has passed and that we can move forward. So I love what you're saying. I think that's very wise. And I have to admit, I have not offered that to my clients as a way to start a meeting. But here's why I love that. When they breathe together for a few minutes, it's a very subtle but profound way of creating rapport. And if there's one thing we need on our teams these days, it's greater rapport. To know that we are all together, we're in this, supporting each other, even if we have differences of opinion. And then the last thing that I wanted to reinforce, because you said a lot in just that little bit, when we focus on what we want rather than what we don't want, we're pulling together the power of our subconscious, our collective subconscious abilities to create it. So it goes beyond just that logical left brain thinking, which is important. We would be nothing without it. But when you can connect your intuitive aspect with your logical left brain, now you're really talking. Would you agree with that? Have you had that experience?
Catherine, that is spot on. That's the essence of people making a subtle shift from walking into a meeting or walking into a conversation and saying what's wrong to what's working. I have seen this literally shape relationships, because when you ask what's wrong, like you said, the brain is literally chemically looking for problem, 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 right? Instead of saying, hey, what's the one good thing that happened, or what is working about this, or what can we evolve from here, or how do we get from good to great? Just by shifting the questions that we ask, we trigger that subconscious, which has that inner, you know, the wisdom that has been underneath from shared experience, from past learning, and we're just able to tap into that in addition to the left brain, which is already kind of hardwired to be solving the problem. So it's incredible to me that mindfulness is even noting the language that we are using, and how we can make such a subtle shift changes the reality that we're faced with and changes the dynamic of the relationships.
Absolutely. And I've learned in conflict resolution that it's important to start with what are the aspects that we can agree upon? What are the things that are working? Because it narrows the problem space. One of the biggest impediments I've found is when people feel overwhelmed and hopeless about a situation, but just reviewing it more objectively and emphasizing that there are some things that are working. And maybe we have to stretch and say at the highest level, we both want this company to be successful. You know, we might have to go to that level, but I definitely agree. Starting with what works is most important. So talk to us about some of your experiences with your clients.
Absolutely. You know, one of the interesting things that you just mentioned was really around this conflict resolution space. And I have seen a marked difference of companies stopping the concept of, okay, come in for negotiations training, or asking me to come in and talk about difficult conversations, and now bringing me in for, we want to know how to build alignment. Right? We want to know how to have, you know, effective high-impact communication without that negotiation, because I think inherently we're not just talking about word choice, right? Negotiation is about I win, you lose, or vice versa. We're really talking about what goes on underneath the iceberg for people, what goes on underneath where we can find alignment, like you were saying. Well, what do we share? Even if it's very subtle, even if it's at the very bottom, bottom, bottom of that iceberg, when we can only see the tippy top, there's something that we have grounded in our shared reality. So I love, clients are really bringing me in, but building alignment. What is it that I stand for, my values? What is it that you stand for? And where can we start having those conversations on the same side of the table, not opposite one another?
I think that's very wise. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's not just about words. Words are a reflection of our inner landscape. So how we're thinking and the meaning we're making out of what's happening. And that's a huge area for misunderstanding or for creating alignment. So it starts with words as a reflection of what's going on inside of us.
Yes.
So one of the things we want to talk about a little bit more is what are the costs that are associated with bringing a mindfulness program and what are some of the benefits. We're going to go to break in a couple minutes, but would like to do more of that. And how would you think that mindfulness is changing business, Valya? So when we return, we're back with Valya Glitzes. Stay with us.
There's more to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommons for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
This is the All Business Radio Network. ABRN.
Are you looking for something more in your life or business? More success, more stability, more happiness? It's all out there waiting for you, but it doesn't just happen. You've got to go get it. Make it happen with Michelle McCullough, where motivation and strategy intersect. Michelle is a serial entrepreneur, acclaimed speaker, and the Woohoo Radio Network's resident business and success strategist. Michelle has the smarts, strategies, and experience to help you improve your life and take your business to the next level. You've got big dreams. You've got big vision. Now it's time for you to make it happen.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back, and we're here with Valya Glitzes talking about mindfulness in business. Now, this is probably an unexpected topic, but there's a very good bottom line reason for doing it. And Valya, would you like to pick up with maybe some of the costs and benefits of practicing mindfulness in business?
Absolutely. It's funny. I was thinking about the costs, and I think from an HR or from a business perspective, yes, this is going to be bringing in speakers, creating spaces at businesses. There is some physical cost to it. But what organizations have been getting back, what the shifts in leaders, in their mindset, in how they are showing up and leading their people, their departments, their organizations, I really don't think, and I don't know, you tell me, Catherine, if you've had other experiences, I'm not sure that the cost is even considerable in terms of where this mindfulness kind of expedition is taking us. In terms of the benefits, everything from, I mean, there's been studies, people's overall health, of course, with stress management, people's productivity, in terms of promotions, in terms of, I mean, I've had clients, you know, get promoted seemingly, you know, hey, nothing changed, but it has been 6 months when they were sitting there making those moments of pauses, choosing differently, quieting themselves, centering to really understand why is it that I'm leading this way, or what are the necessary changes in myself that I need to make to be a more effective leader. So what the benefit, the primary benefit for me is it creates space. It creates space to not react and to be able to respond to every business challenge that flows into a leader's way. And the infrastructure costs of building a program of building practices are minuscule compared to what we're getting and what we're seeing in organizations as benefits.
Could you talk to us about one of your clients that maybe had a lot of difficulties in the beginning, and then what are they experiencing after doing mindfulness practice?
Absolutely. I do quite a bit of work in the technology startup space, and I think that was it was a buzzword for quite a long time. I mean, these are typically early adopters of these types of methodologies, and I had a particular client who's in the video space. basically want to just dive in and do everything. And it was a real struggle at first. There was cynicism. There was the new agey concept, you know, of that fear of, wait a second, are we losing our edge? I kept hearing that a lot of, is this too soft? And so they just piloted. They actually pulled back and didn't do a whole blown-out program throughout the organization. They just piloted at a very senior level to see, okay, can we get buy-in from our C-suite? Can we get buy-in from our senior directors and from our, you know, our leadership teams? And it was an actual off-site where they took off the leaders. They explained, why is this mattering? Why can we afford not to do this? Why can we afford to do this? And really having a dialogue, left brain, right brain conversations around it. And they made everybody commit to one mindfulness practice. They did not try to boil the ocean. They basically said everyone is committing for a 3-month pilot to do one thing a day for less than 2 minutes. For some of them, it was looking at a picture of their children instead of an email. For some, it was a quick walk to get a cup of water. For some, it was closing their eyes and deep breathing. And they came back after those 3 months, and what they had found was, again, less stress, more connection. They were listening to each other. It was amazing to me, the impact on listening in a way that they hadn't. So my takeaway from that was, rather than boil the ocean and try and just recalibrate the entire organization to be quote-unquote mindful, let it begin with every single individual and tiny things they can do every day, 2 minutes or less, to be really building into this type of practice.
I love that 2 minutes or less concept. And, you know, so much of it is helping people kind of escape from the rigid thinking of the past. You have to at least have be willing to consider the possibility that this might work. So suspend disbelief for just a short time and for 2 minutes to try something like that. I think it's a very gentle way of easing into getting in touch with a deeper part of ourselves that we've lost in this hectic pace that we have today.
Yes. And there's been, I think, what's really helped is just this undercurrent of real celebrities, people in the media, you know, like an Arianna Huffington, who's talking about mindfulness, particularly when it comes to sleep and rest, you know, like the Dan Harris book, 10% Happier. I have clients reading that across the globe. I think there's just a media surge that is also making it okay for those companies who might be a little more resistant or who might wait for it to become popular until they jump on board. There has been a lot of support and evidence just in the spirit of what is possible with mindfulness that we haven't really looked at, and let's give it a shot. I think that's really helped the marketplace in general.
I appreciate your naming those resources, because there are a lot of people who would like to take this further, and those are a couple of very good places to start. You know, we're coming to the time, I think, where we're seeing the limitations of multitasking and racing and pushing ourselves beyond what's healthy. And now we're looking more clearly at how the mind actually works. So if you don't look at just how many things I can get done, but you go deeper into what you were talking about earlier, what are the most important things and how do they align with our highest goals, so that what we're spending our energy on, our precious life force energy on, is really going to get us results? Because so many people have frantic energy, but they keep coming up short. Yeah. And I think there was even a study recently that said multitasking is not all it's cracked up to be. That you do much better if you're focused on one thing and do it right and move on to another. So there's a balance. You have to be able to have some flexibility. But thinking that you can realistically do several things at the same time is just not panning out.
That's exactly it. And think about, again, that term busyness. I mean, how many clients call us in to go into their organization, and the first thing that they said is, I just need help with time management. And I laugh, and I do that to basically, first to irritate them a little bit, but just to see that this is not about time management. Time is a depleting resource, and it always will be. We're never going to have enough time. So how do you start focusing on energy management? Because that's something you can grow and develop. And we can't talk about energy management until we start talking about mindfulness. because that gives us the pause, that gives us that moment, that centering, even if it's as simple as on the subway ride or on the commute, instead of doing something, how about just a couple of deep breaths? How about just a visualization? How about just a, you know, let's connect with, hey, what are my top three values for this week? Or what is something I really want to accomplish? Or what am I most proud of? Right? Just spending that idle time in between the day, and there always is, walking from place to place or commuting from place to place. How do we make that valuable rather than just wasted, quote-unquote, time? Right? I think there's really this interesting balance between time and energy when we're talking about mindfulness.
You know, I love that you talk about this. And to me, it's a time to get connected with self again. You know, I got to the point, and I'll admit it, I teach this stuff and sometimes I forget. And that is, I lost touch with what makes me happy, what energizes me, what am I really committed to? And I felt that I was just completing all these commitments that I'd made. And so the change, small change, but profound in its impact, is to get centered and say, why am I doing all these activities? It's because, like we've talked before, we're both service-oriented. We believe that we have something to offer in the world and we want to make a difference. It's about the legacy. And when that informs action, then a lot of the stress falls away.
That's it. Because it's anchored to something bigger than the stress of the everyday. Right.
Exactly.
I was at a mindfulness conference at the Stern School down at NYU a couple of weeks ago, and all they were talking about is that when you can link every daily activity to whatever the value is or the whatever the purpose is for you, it then doesn't become just about a unit of time. It becomes about an investment, right? It becomes about, well, I'm investing in me or this company or this project. And then it's not about just the ego responding and saying, oh, I'm so busy. I just have so much. I don't have enough time, right? It's about what is this in service to? What is this ultimately helping? Or what is the bottom line and why does that matter? So I just love that concept of how do we think about investing in a bank account of time and energy rather than always pulling from it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about people, the ego saying, I'm so busy. And, you know, I've run into this where it's almost like a shield. You can't criticize me because I am working flat out. So I somehow, in a crazy way, I'm safe. And again, it's that fear. And as we, especially as leaders, get more tense about getting results, or, you know, improving the bottom line or the top line or whatever it is, that can radiate throughout the organization. And then people get caught up in this looking busy, being busy as a defense mechanism. Have you run into that too?
Without a doubt. As a defense mechanism, as like you said, it's sort of this ego of I'm important, I matter. Right? And there's a lot of work that you and I do behind the scenes in one-on-one executive coaching of where does that come from? How is it serving you? How is it actually standing in the way of real connection? And personally, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but personally, one of the reasons why I am gravitated towards serving leaders in an organization is because one tiny shift in that fear-based voice in a leader has a tremendous ripple effect throughout the rest of the organization because their behavior is what's modeled, right? It becomes okay for me to check my email at midnight or not to be okay, depending on how that leader allows us to take time and space for what matters to us.
Absolutely. I think that's huge. And, you know, you and I both had an opportunity to work with emerging leaders at one of our shared clients in New York. And that was fascinating to see some of the fears and hopes and expectations of some of these people just moving into leadership. Is that something that you think relates to what we're talking about today?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I think this next generation of leaders, I have seen less of a connection to this busyness addiction. I've seen a resentment for it and I need to try and figure out my place in the world, and the busyness is actually a distraction. Where I think more senior leaders, you know, let's just say, you know, current leaders of organizations, I do think it's very much that fear-based. I think these next emerging leaders are looking for meaning beyond the day-to-day. And, you know, we've all heard, you know, this is about entitlement and this is about them just not being able to stick to something. But I think it runs deeper than that. I'm not sure this is just about entitlement and, you know, moving on from thing to thing to thing. I think it is about purpose. I really think it is about, well, tell me why this thing matters, because there's a lot in my life. I'm looking to live a holistic, mindful life, centered life, conscious life, not just one that is in servitude to something I don't believe in, right?
Let's pick this up again after the break. I think this is very interesting to talk about this new generation of leaders.
There's more to come with Catherine and her guests on Uncommons for Leaders. Catherine returns after this short break.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
This is the All Business Radio Network. ABRN.
Are you looking for something more in your life or business? More success, more stability, more happiness? It's all out there waiting for you, but it doesn't just happen. You've got to go get it. Make it happen with Michelle McCullough, where motivation and strategy intersect. Michelle is a serial entrepreneur, acclaimed speaker, and the Woohoo Radio Network's resident business and success strategist. Michelle has the smarts, strategies, and experience to help you improve your life and take your business to the next level. You've got big dreams. You've got big vision. Now it's time for you to make it happen.
You're listening to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Here with more thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership, Catherine Carlisi.
Welcome back. We're here with a special guest, Valya Glitzis, who is also going to be a guest host on Uncommon Sense for Leaders in the near future. Valya, as we went into break, we were talking about the different mindset and expectations of some of the new generation of people coming into business. Some call them millennials. Would you talk a little bit more about that and what you're seeing?
So, yeah, we were talking before just about this, word of entitlement, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. That's why I'm sort of hedging. It comes up all the time, and I think there's a real frustration in this generation gap right now, where the perception of the millennials is they're not willing to sort of put in the time, right, to learn the skills, to be building the rapport and the resume and sticking with a company for a while. And I do think it really runs deeper than that. My sense is that it's about purpose. It is about them yearning for this more mindful way of being, where they have a lot of interests, they have a lot of passions, they want to make sure they're living integrated lives and not keeping business and personal so separate as many of us have been taught to do. And that's really the rub that I'm seeing, and I think it's a fascinating one, and one that's exciting to be in conversation with, because they are frustrated, but I think it's coming from a place of, why does this matter? How do I connect into this company? Why does this project become part of a project plan, right? It's very tactical, but also quite existential in terms of what it is that they're asking.
The concern that I think some of them have is if they do not adhere to the existing norms, that they're going to be sidelined or reprimanded or whatever. What advice would you give to leaders on how to handle that?
I think
or to the millennials themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some organizations it's probably true, right? I've seen it. I've seen them marginalized. I've seen executives at a senior level, you know, be extremely frustrated and try and bring in programming and coaching and workshops. And my advice would be almost back to what we were saying. How do you start simple? How do you start having meetings in a way that you start asking, what matters to all of you? Before we kick off on this project, what are the two things that really matter? What are your non-negotiables? Just to start a dialogue so that we don't assume that one is good and one is bad. To the millennials, I would say, keep at it. I feel like this is the future of business. It is about more of an integrated, holistic model. It is about us having conversations of why something matters, not just what we're doing or how we're doing it. So I think they're fighting for something that is going to be at the forefront of business. We now need to figure out how these conversations can happen in a way that's productive rather than feeling like a negotiation, as we were sharing earlier.
Yeah, I think that's smart. And you touched on one of my hot buttons, which is whenever we get into right and wrong, good and bad, we really lose the opportunity to get a richer understanding of what's going on. When we look at either what works for us to get us closer to the goal, what takes us away, or even the possibility that we could learn something from everyone who's in the room. Each person has a unique perspective. Put together, we could be greater than the sum of our parts. And that includes people who are new to an organization, which is a very different way for leaders to think.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, you know, you do this work in New York City, and, you know, we think about New York as being one of the most hectic places in the world. Yeah. Would you say that it's a challenging place to do mindfulness work? If we can do it there, we can do it anywhere, right?
So
if we can make it in New York with mindfulness.
So true, and I think that's one of the reasons why we probably have both chosen New York. I think the need is greatest here. I mean, I have a bunch of clients in New York that also have, you know, their West Coast offices, and I do quite a bit of work in California, and I mean, it's amazing. You walk into their offices, same exact corporation, and it feels different. To your bone, it feels like people actually go and take a lunch break, right? People are able to come in at 10 because they wanted to drop off kids in the morning or go to a class, or, and it's okay. Right? There's just this different rules of engagement that happen within the same organization. So personally, I feel in service to New York because this is where we need it most. And this is why I think the 2 minutes a day versus trying to get someone to do something for 2 half hours in a day makes such a difference. In New York, I'm all about how do you leverage that commuting time? How do you walk without looking down at your phone and just look around at the trees or try and listen to see can you actually hear birds or can you hear the traffic and really hear it? So to me, it's how do we equip New Yorkers to make it part of their integrated way of being, not just something extra that they have to do, because that's where I tend to find resistance when it's something else on their to-do list.
They're very overwhelmed. You know, I think one of the fears of the leaders would be that if people relax, we're not going to get the results that we need to survive in this competitive world. What experiences have your clients found as they've taken mindfulness into the workplace when it comes to bottom line results?
Yeah. You know, the mantra that pops into my head, Catherine, is we slow down to then speed up. After the journey through mindfulness, when they have practiced it for a couple of months and I come back and say, so what's different? They tell me I was able to slow down for those 2 minutes a day or 5 minutes or whatever it was, that half hour, to be able to speed up. And I don't think we can underestimate the power of that mantra. It is, how do you take that moment of pause to recalibrate, to then be that much more productive, that much more efficient? This isn't about giving anything up. This is just an invitation to do what we do in a much more effective, calm, grounded way. So I want to be really clear that this is not an either or. This is just an invitation to a different how you can go about doing everything that you do.
Yeah, I like it. And one of the things that occurs to me as I was listening to you is we don't have time sometimes, or we believe we don't have time to do it right or to do it with intention, whatever the decision or the action is, but we will have to make time to correct the problems that we cause if we go too quickly and we miss important points. So, yeah, I think that supports what you were talking about.
And it's a presence piece, right? I think it's, you know, when we hear the word consciousness, that feels, oh, you know, not businessy enough. So replace consciousness. Talk about awareness. Talk about presence. It's, am I grounded enough that I don't have noise spinning in my head so that the critical business decision that I am making, the critical meeting that I am holding, I'm doing it from a place of full awareness, full attention, right? That's all mindfulness is. It's targeted attention. And we just train the brain to be able to experience that because we're not used to it, right? We're used to that scattered, frenetic way of being.
There's something implied here, too, that I want to talk about. And in the frenetic way, it's about we have to do it ourselves. Mm. When we actually step back and we become more receptive, we're opening the door for alignment, as you've talked about, but also joint decisions and being more receptive to different perspectives to come up with solutions that serve in a maybe even more effective way.
That's it. That's it. This is about it goes back to fear, right? How do we put down the walls that we have created from our ego? And how do we start bridging those gaps between people, between companies, between conversations, right? Between colleagues, between loved ones. I think it's these bridges that happen when we're able to see everything, not just our limited and myopic way.
Which brings me to another question, and that is, what do you think, what do you see as the future of mindful leadership? What are the trends that you're seeing?
To me, quite simply, this is going to be the new way of business. I think especially when we see more virtual teams happening and more leaders at a very senior level not needing to be on site, it's even more important for us to be mindful in the way we do business because there will be more time and space to fill. We are becoming more efficient, right, with having global teams, with having much more digital webinar-based learning and education. So we're actually gaining time. So now the question to me is, and what I'm seeing is, how do we start filling that time with something that serves us as individuals, as a business unit, whatever it is, versus depletes us? Right, and making those choices, which is where mindfulness then comes in.
Yeah, makes sense. What are some resources that you would recommend if for those who are listening and want to dive even deeper into this? You mentioned a couple, but do you have any others that you would suggest?
Yeah, there is so much in this space, and what I would encourage listeners is, what part of it do you want to chip away at for you, right? Because it can get very overwhelming. I mean, you just put in mindfulness in Google, and it's you just stop because there is so much. So I would say, what part is curious? What part spiked your interest? Is it about figuring out fear-based, you know, kind of values versus truth-based values? In which case I would go down a route of, you know, a bunch of TED Talks. Brené Brown is incredible in her work on vulnerability and sharing and how we open up to the world. If it's more, you know, practicing mindfulness, Sharon Salzberg does incredible work. She has this book, Real Happiness at Work and Real Happiness, and talks all about very practical 2 minute a day breathing, deep breathing, understanding diaphragm breathing versus chest breathing. So very practical guide. John Kabat-Zinn, who I'm sure many people are familiar with, who's done tons of mindfulness stuff at Google and other enormous behemoth companies. He has an incredible roster of websites, audios. So I would just say start somewhere, because to not start is probably where perfectionism is getting in the way. Just put a stake in the ground and start somewhere, and then your scavenger hunt will unfold. I think it does for all of us.
Thank you. It's wonderful, and it's so great that we can bring ideas to our listeners, but also give them resources to continue their own search. We're going to have the information that Valya just shared. I'll have that on the radio page. Again, that's ABRN for All Business Radio Network toginet.com/shows/Uncommon Sense for Leaders. And while we're at it, I'm going to give you a little more information on how to reach Valya. If you'd like to talk to her, bring her into your companies to do some work. And also, Valya is very interested in launching more of a public speaking arm of what she does. So she'd be great for any of the meetings that you have. So www.theparadoxofleadership.com. You can email her at Valya@theparadoxofleadership.com. And then if you want to follow her on Twitter, it's Valya, V-A-L, is at Valya Glitzis, V-A-L-I-A-G-L-Y-T-S-I-S. So we've just got maybe a minute or a little less. Valya, any closing comments?
I think my invitation to everyone would be just suspend disbelief and just dive in. What is your two-minute practice each day? And if it's as simple as putting the phone down when you walk your dog, then that is mindfulness. So I would just say experiment, have fun, and dive into this world, because once you go, there's sort of no going back when you see what's possible in mindfulness.
Thank you, Valya. So glad to have you with us. And we look forward to you having your own show. Take care.
Thank you so much.
See you next week, everybody.
Thanks again to Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for examining leadership from the perspectives of intellect, heart, and spirit. We're committed to bringing you the insights and information you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. So we want to know more about you, our listeners. What did you learn on today's show that struck a chord with you?